4 miles in closing!
Elder Geddy ceased tugging on his beard and pointed at the younger man with a skeleton-thin hand.
The choice must be yours, Thomas.
Thomas sneered, pulling his blaster.
Accepted. Master of the guards, call out your men. Let's get the shields in place before the devils arrive.
A Sekhman blew on a ram's horn, and guards rapidly spread across the courtyard of the Stoneville, shouting orders. The armory was opened wide, and weapons were passed out to eager hands, along with sealed jars of ammo and even a few grins. Then handlers appeared from the holding pits, their shaved heads gleaming with oil from the yellow light of the fish oil lanterns, as the eunuchs whipped a line of women toward the front gate. Dressed in dirty rags, the slaves were all young, but appeared almost as old as the witch from their poor diet and the daily beatings. Teams of slaves pushed at the wooden beam holding the front gate closed, the massive slab of wood sliding along a greased notch until out of the way. Now armed Sekhmen pushed the gate open and spread out in a defensive pattern, while the handlers lashed their charges outside the hill. For most of the females, it was the very first time they had seen the other side of the thick stone walls of Hell's Gate, since they had arrived so very long ago. Arching in a semicircle around the ville, the wall stood 20 feet tall and was nearly as thick, built entirely of slabs of concrete and pieces of broken warships from the beach. Many times Coldhearts and Muties had attacked Hell's Gate, once even rival slavers from Old Mex, and they always failed to get through the imposing palisade. Even the front gate itself was composed of a framework made of railroad ties, overlaid with slabs of sidewall concrete. It took 20 strong men to move the gate, and nothing could blast through. It was a formidable barrier, made impregnable by the titanic cannons removed from the Navy ships in the sea. 6 breech loaders more than 20 feet long, with a foot-wide barrel. There had been a larger undamaged cannon in the wreckage down the coast a mile or so, but it was simply too enormous to move by hand or machine. But the 6 were enough, more than any other ville had in the known world. The cannons weren't movable, resting in beds of crushed stone and timber. But the elders of the time had been very careful to aim the blasters in different directions to cover the entire arch of the great wall around Hell's Gate. The few times the cannons had been used against invaders, there had been no survivors, and few body parts remained to scrape off the cliff to feed the pigs. The chief eunuch lashed out with a bullwhip.
Okay, strip!
The knotted end cracked in the air like blaster fire, making the girls flinch.
Remove every stitch, and be quick about it!
Relaying the command, other handlers also cracked their whips, urging the confused slaves on to greater speed. Hesitantly at first, the women began to remove their simple clothing, many weeping as they obeyed. Watching from the shadows outside the circle of light, the canny guards leered at the display of flesh, and some reached out to cup the tender breasts of the women and brutally squeeze until tears of pain replaced those of shame. The eunuchs tried not to scowl in disapproval at the lustful actions, but few succeeded. Soon the rags were piled on the rocky ground, and the 20 women stood shivering in the cool sea breeze.
Chain them up!
The chief eunuch tried to keep a watch on the slaves as well as on the road near the cliff. The muted noise of the motorcycle engines could be faintly heard now, getting steadily louder. Time was short.
And be quick about it!
Now the eunuchs pushed the Sekhmen aside and got busy shackling the naked girls to iron rings set into the main gate. Some of the smaller women couldn't reach the ground with their feet and hung painfully from their wrists, fighting to hold on to the stout chains with their hands, or else their own weight would painfully dislocate a shoulder. Surrounded by armed guards atop the wall, Thomas watched the procedure below and scowled unhappily at the terrible waste. These were farming folks, not gaudy sluts, prime meat for the blood feast. But now their only value was that of living armor, their lives' protection against the enemies rumbling toward the ville. When the task was done, the Sekhmen and eunuchs fled back inside Hell's Gate, and the gate was ponderously closed, the massive locking bar noisily sliding back into position.
1 mile! They're past Liar's Point!
In spite of himself, Thomas had to admit the disguise was well done. He would never have suspected that they weren't the real Blue Devils without the assistance of the Doomy. The gang always had a few new faces among them, and the smoked bodies draped across the rear fenders looked real enough to make him hungry. partially covered by the moon shadow of the eastern gun. A girl hanging naked from the cold gate wearily raised her head to see the headlights of the motorcycles turn off the road and head for the bill. Desperately, she mouthed words at the distant machines, producing no sounds, and as the bikers charged ever closer, raw hatred filled her bruised body with strength, and she finally screamed, her voice raspy from years of torture.
Please! Kill us!
As if in response, the bikers braked to a halt along the edge of the cliff and started conferring among themselves, the headlights pulsing to the throb of the big Harley engines. A SEC man twisted his hands nervously on an M16 remake.
They've seen the shields, Elder. What should we do if the witch is wrong? Should we load the eastern cannon? Hate to lose all that food.
Thomas started to answer the man when something caught his attention. In the glow of the brake lights behind the bikers, he could see the feet of the chained slaves. Shoes. The nuking slaves were wearing shoes. Slaves my ass, Thomas thought. So the Doomie was right as usual, and this was a trap of some kind. Probably poison in the bodies. There was probably more to this than could be seen. The first Elder often said one clever trick from an enemy usually meant that two or three more were coming. Thomas worked the bolt action on his long blaster and slid in the single round.
Load the second and third cannons, and load number four too. Just in case, this is a diversion for an attack on the other side.
Yes, Elder.
The man saluted and hurried off while carrying his torch high, sparks flying on the wind. Standing alone in the busy courtyard, the Doomie turned her wizened head toward the dimly remembered glory of the stars, a worried expression playing across her gnarled features. She felt dizzy, almost sick, her mind a whirlwind of events, the actions of the present too chaotic for her to see what would come. Then, dimly, amid the blood and the madness, she caught a glimpse of a beautiful woman with yellow hair, the color of the sun, golden hair. It was she. A wave of cold took the mutie, and there was no doubt that she had just looked upon the face of death incarnate. Lifting a box from inside his leather jacket, one of the bikers seemed to be talking to it. After a few minutes, he tucked it away, and the devils began revving their engines, making enough noise to drown out the crashing of the waves on the beach.
What the hell are they doing?
The SEC man switched the selector level on his M16 from single shot to full auto. That was his only clip of ammo for the rapid fire, but this day was why they had been hoarding the lead. All available black powder was reserved for the big guns. The SEC man hadn't personally fired his weapon in years. There was rarely a need. Only muties were insane enough to challenge the big guns.
They're dying, that's what.
Thomas wrapped the sling of the huge long blaster around his arm to steady his aim. Aiming for the fuel tank of the big Harley, he then shifted the crosshairs and zeroed on the rider. As he caressed the trigger, the Remington blaster blew flame, and Thomas saw the devil fall off the machine and roll straight over the cliff and out of sight. If there was a scream before he hit the rocks below, the winds carried it away. What a pity. In response, the rest of the bikers drew rapid fires, while the slaves threw off their chains and cut loose the dressed bodies, pulling out blasters hidden underneath. Crouching low, they started raking the top of the wall with small arms fire, flattened slugs ricocheting off the metal and concrete. The Vill guards returned fire, but their weapons didn't have the reach. Then the bikers turned off their headlights, and darkness covered the landscape, with only the flashes of their blaster fire showing where the devils were located. Thomas worked the bolt of his Remington and chambered a fresh pre-dark cartridge.
Ready the second cannon! Blow him off the cliff!
With the gun crew shouting directions, bald eunuchs lashed a team of slaves to move faster, loading the pre-dark monster with black powder and broken lengths of chain. At this range, the shotgun blast of junk would chew the outlanders into small chunks of flesh, leveling anything along that entire section of the cliff. There would be no escaping the guns of Hell's Gate.